Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, number 73. This week, we talk cold-blooded murder. That's right, killing and blood, and no, not really. You'll see what I mean in a second when you listen to it. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. We have Mike and Cherish, two people who are not really seen on the podcast often. Cherish working on the film school. I'm not going to spoil any more of this fantastic, suspense-filled podcast. We're going to get right into it. Welcome to yet another Face Rocker Podcast, joined today by Matt to my right.
Hello.
And two new people.
Yeah.
To my left.
Hey.
Mike and Cherish.
Hello.
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 Mike's been on this podcast once before.
That's right. That's what I was trying to think about. Yeah.
Twice before.
Yeah, before.
You guys were busy on VGHS, I subbed one time at the last minute.
Oh, so you have been on since you were hired?
Yes.
Okay.
So did I just ruin the premise?
Cherish, though, is brand new. Cherish,
yeah,
brand new.
I'm brand new.
I'm working on the film school.
Ooh. Yes. Indeed.
What is your official title? What do we
give
you?
Creative producer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good title.
Yeah. It's tasty.
That's a nice title. We got to get some business cards with that title.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Get me out there, man. Business cards.
And also, has a relationship with Will Campos.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Engaged.
Yes, I do. Look at it.
Woo!
Oh, embarrassing.
That's actually really sparkly.
It is. It is quite
this
sparkly.
Is a good life
it glints quite nicely under these harsh studio lights.
Will and his sister designed it.
Really?
What? Wait, back up. What?
Yeah, they designed the ring.
Where do you go to design
the ring? Is there a website for that?
No, there is a man in the...
Just one.
It's just one guy. I think his name is Daniel, who is in the Third Street Farmer's Market.
Mm-hmm.
And he designs rings.
So like, we'll draw it and then...
His sister did like put it in AutoCAD or something like that.
Oh,
it
was intense.
Yeah, no, it was a process.
Because in my head,
so
it's
what
like,
did Will do?
Yeah.
He was doing it. We were talking about it in the writer's room. There was a lot of meetings.
Because
oh, wow.
And in my head, it's him in his sketchbook being like, the R is backward, my ring. And then like him like sketching out all kinds of ideas.
In all caps, like children's handwriting.
And, like, and then one page is just like, he's drew Batman for a whole page. He just got distracted, apparently. And he's back into it the next page.
No, he was busy coming up with more ideas for shoes.
No, Will doesn't do anything half speed. He jumps in. He committed.
It He's full
good.
Throttle. Yeah. Yeah, it was very nice. I was very surprised.
How do you pop the question? This is just becoming about your game.
Oh, my
God. We ambushed you.
Now I'm just gonna get all blushy. We were just cooking dinner, and let's see if I can even tell this right. It was kind of it was kind of chaotic because we were cooking. Things were running late, but it was okay. It was just a casual night in, and like, he had perfectly put everything, he had, like, lit candles and everything. It was, I was like, this is, you know, an ordeal for a normal dinner. And everything, he was just putting the plate down, and as he did, I, like, knocked all this wine over everywhere. Like, everywhere.
Exactly as he planned.
Yeah, as he was ready to do it. And it was so funny because, anyway, I was like, oh, that's crazy. And we were just cleaning up. And then as we were cleaning up, he was already on his knees and just... popped the question.
He was like, wait, hey, romantic. do you see what's on the floor here? And then he pulled it from the carpet.
I was like, someone might have lost this. We need to report it. We need to report this. No, it was very surprising.
I just realized all three of you have done this or have gone through this process.
Yep.
Yeah.
How did you do it, Matt?
What?
How did you propose to
we were together for long enough that it was, I essentially had a deadline to propose at that point. So I knew I couldn't do anything like... I had a shocker because I knew I couldn't if I went to a fancy dinner, it was approaching the deadline. So like and it had to happen before VJ
like
Chess season 3.
Season. Yeah. It was like April 13th. Anything that's coming out of your house around that time is taxes.
It was like it had to be before season 3 started filming.
That's true.
Which I get from her perspective. It's like, if you're gone for 2 months and you haven't proposed to me at this point, I'm out of here. So if I did some dinner or like, hey, let's just go up to the mountains or something and be like, okay, well, just do it here then. Because clearly that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So
you could have tried to double bluff her.
So instead,
double bluff.
That's true. I could have, I just disappointed her. Actually, that was one of my first ideas, by the way.
It was a terrible idea.
It was going to be to go to the mountain, do a romantic dinner and do all this stuff and not propose and then fake fake a pop tire or like sliding off the road and be like, oh crap, like I gotta go fix the car and just make that as miserable of a thing as possible.
Oh,
and
then like
for hours.
Yeah, and then wait and like, oh, I gotta call AAA, and then like as I'm like putting on the spare tire, be like,
wait, by the way, wait,
and then like propose.
Oh wow.
No, and I pitched that to a few people. I was like, they're like, that's a terrible idea.
But you would have to get like the tow truck guy who's
to have it
in it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There,
like he starts singing.
That's too
or
much.
Something.
Yeah, that's
like,
much.
Oh,
too
exactly, it's too much.
Oh, so God.
It's really good that you
did not do that.
Well, no, it's really good that you don't ask my opinion on these things because I would have been like, see, the key here, Matt, is you can't fake a pop tire. You need to plant it.
Yeah, I know. No.
add a highway interchange, and like I could maybe like hide in the bushes and throw a tire like call drops out, and you could drive over them. So you really do bust your tire.
Would be like if I'm driving, especially if we were like doing some romantic dinner like up in like Mulholland or something, like Ashley would have been asleep in the car. Like the moment it gets dark, if she's in a car, she'll just fall asleep. So she's asleep, I can just shake the wheel and go, whoa! Terrify her, which is exactly what you want. So I went against that. Instead, I just woke up at 4:30, acted as quiet as possible, and I went and made
which
it.
By the way, knowing you was clomp, clomp.
No, she didn't wake up. She didn't wake up, which is very difficult.
Well, you know, you guys, she's been with you. She knows.
Yeah, it took me 30 minutes to get from the door just to not make any noise, being the dinosaur I am. So I made super nice eggs Benedict and a bunch of other stuff, big fancy breakfast. And
she's like, I'm full.
I woke her at like 6 o'clock, and she's like, what? Like, why are you waking me up at 6 o'clock? I'm like, I made breakfast. She's like, oh, that's really nice. And then she turned around to get something. She's like, okay. And she's like, I'm going to pull the blanket over her. And when she turned back, I already had the ring out. It was good. She was surprised.
It's very cinematic. I just imagine like a pan.
Did you express to her your problem in terms of surprising her? Like, you're like, this is
what
we're
talking about afterwards. No, no, not during the moment. I'm doing this now because it's really hard.
No, I'm saying, but like,
how
did you
romantic.
Talk about that? And was she like, yes, that's true, and I was expecting this, therefore you did in fact surprise
me. I mean, we were talking about afterwards, I was telling her that, you know, I was like, she's like, yeah, it was a good call, like, I was not expecting it at that
did
moment.
You pitch your other idea?
And what's funny is I did, it's like, yeah, it would have been a terrible idea. And then it got to a point where, like, I had it on Christmas, and I was going to do it, like, on Christmas, and then I was like, and this was more of a selfish thing, I was like, I don't want to deal with her family and my family.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't want to be talking about this on Christmas. Like, just make it about
lot.
Christmas.
It's
yeah,
a
I was
lot.
Like, it's too much.
It's like,
too much
why would you get in the way of the Lord's birthday with your petty mortal troubles? Right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I just didn't want every, like, it's like, hey, what, I didn't want every Christmas party. It's like the most maximum number of people that could talk about your engagement at once, like, after it happened.
That's such an antisocial impulse.
Yeah, I know, so I was like, no.
People get engaged on Christmas, so that's you just be one in a, you know, a statistic.
Yeah. The one thing I did do was I did
just another line item on the docket. Yep.
I did act kind of like a dick for a week leading into it, just a bit, to make it very clear that it wasn't going to happen that week. Like, I overplayed like how stressed I was, and like, I have no time for anything, and like the one time she dropped the deadline, I kind of responded in a shitty way.
Whoa.
It's like, I know, like, it's like, that's the thing, like, I really wanted to, because she was not expecting it at all.
It blows my mind how much of it, like, and I know this from, obviously.
It backfires and you piss them off too much,
well,
so they just cheat on you and leave you.
I know this from being with you on VGHS, but it blows my mind sometimes how much of a master manipulator you are.
Well, that's his life. Let's talk about that more.
So evil.
Well, not in an evil way, but very clearly, like, yes, I purposefully was cross and slightly short in order to manage the expectations of an event that would not happen in 2 weeks' time. It just knows what you're saying.
Yep.
And I love that even the engagement is a negotiation. But that's also something, like, when you've been with somebody for very,
nine
very long
years.
Time. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm coming up on
nine
11.
Years.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like, it's just like you understand each other so well, and it's like they're all the pomp and circumstance it's not that it's gone, but you know exactly how to create it and how not to create it. You know your partner so well, you know what they're gonna really like and what they're not gonna like.
Yeah.
So it all ties into it. So
what about you? What was your story?
It was a really nice one. Going up.
Let's judge. Right.
We
got this. Let's hear your story, Mike.
Okay. Well, we were going up.
Custom Design Ring, didn't think so.
Well, we were going.
Starts
up
on an airship. Oh, shit.
Okay.
We went on a vacation up to San Francisco because we love going up to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We try to do it every few years. We love that area, that whole thing. And it was like when we first started dating, we did a trip up the coast that kind of like really cemented everything. And
you do Big Sur?
Is this very. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Totally
nostalgia call back to. wonderful time in your relationship.
Yes. Perfect. Which we're not having anymore.
A desperate grasp at nostalgia.
And no, but it was, what was great about it is she didn't expect it either, mm-hmm. because I was actually really so busy. I knew I was going to do it.
Then, yeah.
But I was actually so busy. I was kind of like, I need you to kind of just plan this trip. And I knew, like, just a couple things that I was going to make happen where, like, the whole thing would set up.
One was a tire was going to blow.
Right. So she, like, planned this trip. She booked the hotels. And then I was like, okay, there's this one thing I want to do. I want to go to this really nice restaurant. It's called Meadowood. It's this, like, mm-hmm. really highfalutin.
Three Michelin star.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
Yeah. One of those pinky restaurants.
And I tried to keep the rest of the day casual, even though I knew what I wanted to have happen. Yeah. So, like, we go up, we have a nice few days, we're in Monterey, then we actually go up to San Francisco proper, we're staying in a, like, nice hotel, we're doing the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And we get up early, have breakfast, we get some pancakes at the hotel, it's just, like, very easy. And I'm like, yeah, let's go hiking in Muir Woods for the day before, because we knew we had the reservations that night.
Yeah. Mm.
So we go up to Muir Woods. And, like, we're hiking, and it's really lovely, and just Muir Woods is beautiful, and mm-hmm. we're doing the whole thing. But there's so many people around, and I'm just trying to, like, find a place to do it. Because I knew I wanted to do it in the woods, because she loves nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, you could.
What? Yeah, I could.
Sorry. It's really dark.
What's really...
careful, the fitting's a little loose.
Think really carefully about your answer.
Okay, so we've established Matt is manipulative.
Capable of murder.
Yeah.
Or at least thinks about it.
Thinks about it a lot.
Yeah. He thinks about backup plans. Matt's like, just in case. This could go south at any moment. Yeah. I need a day exit.
He has a backup plan for all of us, any of us needs to go.
He's the Jason Bourne.
I'm sorry. I interrupted a really lovely moment.
That's the best time to interrupt. But anyway, so we're going up. So I'm just, like, the hike is starting to go a little longer than I planned, just because I'm trying to find space where there's no...
There's like, hey, let's go up this loop. It's 14 miles.
No, and I'm one of those people who, like, obsessively, like, anticipates traffic and exactly how long things will take.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like, oh, man, I really got to turn back to go to this restaurant. And they are waiting for the answer, too.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure.
The restaurant is?
Yeah, the restaurant is. So that's the other
So as you're taking longer, like, oh, shit, man. She said no. She's not coming back.
They might not be coming.
Did they have a backup cake?
A single meal just for yourself if she said no?
Reservation for two, unless it goes poorly. Then just for one.
Yeah, with extra dessert.
We got Charlie Brown coming.
Two desserts.
But there was actually this wonderful little moment where I finally find this little path that goes off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And we go up, and it's just a few people. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I spot this little river with all these little rocks that have been placed up over time.
That's ridiculous.
And I spot that. I'm like, perfect, because we can add the rocks after and some at the moment, and they'll always be there, because that's what people have been doing in this little area. I'm like,
and there's like eight other couples there when you ran over there.
No, but there is one couple walking down. Uh-huh. This is the best part of the story, and I can't remember if I ever told you this. But they're coming down, and it's this older man. He has big glasses and, like, this a little bit of longer hair. And I kind of think I recognize him. And he's with a woman who's younger than him, but still kind of, like, older. And they're coming down, and they're sitting there. And as I go close, because I'm waiting for these people to pass so I can, like, take her and just be alone and have the space. And the person passing, I'm like, yep, that's William Friedkin.
What? Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite directors. I love French Connection and Sorcerer so much. People will be like, oh, Exorcist, weird sign. I'm like, no, this is a good sign.
And
as he's passing, the best part is I just hear him go. He goes, yeah, I liked that movie. And he's talking to the first dad. Yeah. And then just keep going. I'm like, okay, this is sign. So I just, like, go off. And we go over to this little, like, part of the brook, and we're just sitting there, and she's in there, and she gave me the... I was really nervous, because I like sort of, like, having kind of, like, lines sort of play. Yeah. Not really, but she gave in this lead-in line, and she goes, this is really special. She just goes just like that.
She tossed it up.
She tossed it. I'm ready to. And I just sit there. And I go, would you like to make it more special?
And she ran away.
I got down. I got just instantly tears just pouring down. And
did you cry?
A little.
Yeah, actually, like it was the same thing. Once you saw the ring, it was just boom.
It was a very expensive bottle of wine.
But it was really nice. And just like, and then we took pictures. We walked down, and then I'm like, okay, we really got to make this right. and I also have to tell them.
You did the classic cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. You had a wonderful weekend. That was just the, whereas me and Will just fumbled into it.
Well, like Will literally got the ring on a Friday. And then he proposed on a Saturday because Will cannot keep a secret. It's like, I'm pretty sure he just was like, I gotta do this, otherwise it's just gonna blow up. Hey,
Cherish, don't tell Cherish, but I got engagement ring.
I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, what shit?
He's just talking about, I was like, yeah, I did this custom ring. Ah, shit!
It's like, stop talking. No. But I actually heard characteristically that men are like kind of, you know, because they're so nervous before they propose that everyone's in really in a bad that. And also they are in kind of like bad moods or something or like really nervous before they do it.
I think they could get frustrated that things like aren't going to plan.
Yeah.
Like I was freaking out that the hike was taking too long.
Yeah.
Well, so a couple things. One, it's hilarious is that if someone popped into this podcast late and just heard you describing like looking for a secluded place in the woods and being freaked out by all these people, it would sound like you were planning a murder, like straight up. Like,
they are very similar.
They're similar.
I mean, seclusion.
They're opposite ends of the spectrum.
Exactly. But then
you don't want her to know. You're trying to find the right tools. You got to prepare everything ahead
of time. It's like fascism and communism. They come the same thing.
This hike is taking too long.
Too many people.
Well, there was a guy online who did a super nerdy thing, but he put a heart rate monitor on himself. Did you see this?
Nope.
He put a heart rate monitor on himself and then just recorded it during the entire like hour or so of process leading up to proposal.
That is really nerdy.
Two moments of proposal and then after proposal. It was really interesting because you see
after proposal.
yeah.
Like there's this weird sudden spike.
But what's interesting is like you see it just like it's like waves.
Seconds.
It's like waves of nervousness hitting him. And you see him like that heart rate spikes. And
oh
then
my
you see
gosh.
It, like Mark's like, this is the moment of the proposal. And you're just like, oh, and then that afterwards, it's like, oh, thank God. It just drops. The heart rate just is like,
oh, you know. I felt so at ease after. Like,
yeah.
It was just, and we did a nice little drive. We called our families. Yeah. We went to the restaurant. Everything worked out great.
Yeah. Bluetooth speakers. It worked. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
When do we hear your story, Freddie? When's that going to happen?
Probably not for a while, Matt. based on your timeline, sometime in the next 10 years.
You don't need to follow my timeline. Yeah.
Very few people follow your timeline, Matt.
You can go faster than that.
Well, you guys are both pretty long-term here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. High ratio here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah. it's been too long.
All right. What else?
What are we talking about now? Well, That was a lot of nice engagement stories.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's end on a good note.
Can totally go on another way, though.
I'm sure all the teenage boys listening to this podcast are really on the edge of their seats at this
point.
Hey,
you know what?
Hey,
it's going to matter to you guys.
We can talk
soon.
About how Matt might be a psychopath.
What? How do you know?
How do you know?
Because you answered that question.
Have you been talking
like
naturally?
Well,
duh. So real quick. So South by Southwest happened just this last week. And I heard that they screened Furious 7 at it.
Oh.
How did it do?
It's supposed to be good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I heard it's like a nice, solid little thing, and they handle
the death of...
I don't want it spoiled.
I heard the digital imaging was pretty good, actually.
Oh, really?
But I hear the story itself
like
is good.
Digital clones of him and stuff.
But also his brothers got involved in the filming.
Yeah, I heard.
Supposed to be good action. Like, Wanda's a good job coming into it.
Okay, so with the advancements of CG and everything, do you think that we'll one day have, and I know, Matt, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but do you think we'll one day have, like, another Bruce Lee movie?
I mean, I think it'll happen. I don't think it's going to be a regular thing. I know we're talking about this. It's like, at some point, it'll be a gimmick. Somebody will do it. They've done it with commercials. It's gonna, but I'm supposed to say it'll happen, and then nobody will want to do it again.
It just seems like it's not necessary. Like, I mean, like,
there's other new people coming out.
And there will be. I mean, it's like, are we so, I mean, I love Bruce Lee, but I mean, are we so attached to the necessity
here's what,
of
I think here's
Bruce Lee
where, here's
to do
where
that?
It would happen. I feel like it's going to be the intersection of a famous person, the technology being there, and that famous person dying in the middle of a movie for them to be like, crap, we have another quarter of this movie with this famous person.
I think that will happen.
Yeah.
My thing's always been, It's not that I disbelieve that technology will be there to have people be photorealistic. Mm. My point is, even if the technology is photorealistic, it will take more people to create a performance as opposed to just a single person making a performance.
Yeah, it's less
like,
cost-effective.
There are 20 people who make a single performance off of a fake-looking thing in a Pixar movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you got photoreal, but you're either going to be mo-capping an actor, in which case, mm-hmm. just use the actor. Mm-hmm. And even when you mo-cap the actor, you're going to be doing touches up. You're going to be having then all the rendering. You're going to have like 20 people to create a performance, no matter how good the technology is, as opposed to it'll never get less than one. There'll be zero people creating a performance in a computer.
That's where trained dogs come in.
Well, that's when we're all just dead.
I would also say this, and we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. even when we talked about like, oh, a computer that makes music and other kinds of things. It's like people like the human connection part of that.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And like if they like an actor or something like that, that it's part of that connection that I think is important to them. So it's anything else is sort of you're treating a video game character. It's a character. It's like an animated character that you're getting into.
Yeah, and I can see it for like a biopic, but again, even then, it's like I feel like somebody would rather have they would connect to an actor who doesn't quite look like that person more than they would connect to a digital thing that looks.
Well, it also has to do with the uncanny valley too. It's a reason like cartoon characters.
But this is assuming. Look, this is assuming that it's perfect.
Yeah. Right.
Which we're not that far away from essentially being able to create a human face that looks more or less perfect.
I think that situation, I mean, more or less, that's what happened with Paul Walker, and that could very well happen in the future, I think. That I definitely don't think that's far away, but to use a...
It'd be for very specific purposes.
Yeah, exactly, like, yeah.
So recently, I think New York Times put out an article, which was basically, it was computer-aided writing.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically put up a quiz for whether or not it was a section from a poem or a work or whatever, and it was whether or not it was a human written or computer written. And I'm gonna pull up this test here real quick. I want to see what you guys think.
To me, that's not okay. Yeah, I mean, I want to see, but to me, that's not overly interesting because it'd be you could just have a bad human writer. You could have it'd be more like have multiple poems and then see which poems you're more emotionally affected by.
Right.
And then compare them to whether a robot wrote them or a person wrote them.
Yeah. It's like, it'd be very easy to be like, I could not tell. Versus what do you connect to?
Yeah. I can almost guarantee there's no way I could tell the difference between something that was written by, and it says AI aided.
Yeah. It's like, it could just be a bunch of shitty poems. You ever think about, yeah, exactly.
Well, like, how long are these segments, too? I feel like it'd be pretty easy to write like five sentences that might sound.
They're
like Wikipedia sounds like it's written by a robot. Like, most encyclopedias sound like they're written by robots. Like they're just like, here's a simple syntax, and it says this thing, and then the next sentence will relate to that thing.
I do like tests, though, so
I'm taking it.
Yeah,
let's see it.
Yeah,
it's funny because a lot of these you could argue just be like, well, this is just crappy. It could just be crappy poetry,
right?
But in terms of passing the Turing test, it is poetry that.
But the Turing test is a conversation.
I mean, in the sense that it's a work presented and it was indistinguishable from something that a human being had written, and people were fooled by that. That was sort of
Again, that's like so not.
I guess it's like the phrasing of the questions too. Like, what are you looking for, and is it just being able to tell if something's written by AI or humans?
Like,
or?
Get like a fourth grader's like essay, and I'll think it was written by a robot. I'll be like, those words don't go together.
Right, exactly.
Or I probably think
that
it's a fourth grader.
R is backwards.
That robot's
well,
stupid.
No.
Anyway, we'll talk about computers as the great creators of art in our civilization. Right after
we're
the,
at 30 minutes.
Find this? Yeah, we're at 30 minutes. I got to find.
That's like 30 minutes of engagement talk.
Sorry, teenagers.
Yeah.
All right, don't worry, guys. We'll talk about video games and shit.
Whoa, explosions and guns and beer.
Yeah.
Be right back
with beer.
Yeah. All right, and we're back. And okay, it turns out that
spoiler the jinx.
It's all computers. Actually, this is entire podcast is computer voices synthesized. Freddy's sleeping right now.
Hello.
Anyway, no, we're gonna move on from that. We're gonna talk really quick about Netflix shows, very specifically, Kimmy Schmidt.
I just want to talk about Kimmy Schmidt. Well, we could talk about Kimmy Schmidt and Last Man Standing. They're weirdly
the last,
you mean
man,
last
on
man
on
Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Yes. That's what I meant.
Matthew,
I meant.
You must leave the
booth. We were looking
now.
At
you're thinking
man.
Of the Bruce Willis movie?
So, you know, the Bruce Willis movie and this Netflix show. These two things are
and
very
the
similar.
Last Stand, because we were looking at some car stunts in The Last Stand by the man who did those car stunts for an upcoming short.
We're
We're going to flip some cool stuff.
What do you think about Kimmy Schmidt, Matt?
Huh?
What do you think about Kimmy Schmidt?
I like it. Fantastic. Next question. It's really good. That and Last Man on Earth are both, they take this incredibly dark premise and play them strictly for comedy in a really real and fun way that still hits the correct dramatic and emotional beats. I'm really enjoying them.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how, it's interesting that both of them kind of, they hint at really weird, dark stuff, but don't really, they just kind of play effervescently on top of
Their title characters have both experienced, like, the most horrific
incredible trauma.
Yeah. Everybody on Earth dying or being trapped in a bunker for 15 years by a cult leader.
Yeah. You know what I think about it? I don't know if I'm going to spoil the show or not. No, I'm not. But in Kimmy Schmidt, there's, like, in one of the earlier episodes, she's like, anytime she is, like, doing something she doesn't want to do, she just counts to 10.
Yeah.
She's like, you can do anything for 10 seconds. And it's like, what? And it's her, like, in the bunker, like, pushing this wheel that does nothing for, like, 10 seconds.
The mystery crank.
The mystery crank. And it's just, like, it's super dark.
Yeah.
But now, like, I think about that when I'm, like, exercising. I was like, I can do this for 10 seconds. Like,
you're getting your life lessons.
It is. I am. Thank you, TFA and Robert Carlyle.
Well, it's great they present it when they first do it. It's because she has to hold the hand of the rich woman she's, like, the maid assistant of now.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to do it. And she's like, just cuddle with me. I need human contact.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there. She's holding her hand. She's like, 10, 9, 8. And that's what she's using it for. And then she tells her, it's like, you know what? You can do anything you want for 10 seconds when she's like, doesn't want to drink tap water. It sounds really dumb.
Yeah.
And
then
it flashes back to why she learned that. And it's cranking a mystery crank in a dungeon.
Yeah,
because what she learned, because she the real thing is Ellie Kemper is incredible. Like I always liked her on The Office and everything else I saw her in, but like not to the degree where I was like, she's amazing. I would want to put her in something. She's like, she was fine.
Right. One day there was going to be that role. That
exactly.
Just,
she's amazing in it. Like nobody else could do the role, and it's probably my favorite comedic performance like this year. She's incredible.
So potentially grating. Like you could really, really, really hate that character so easily, and then she's just delightful.
Yeah, and she has to play somebody who is just, you have to buy that she would be optimistic and trying to like fix her life, but there's still this like trauma underneath it.
Yeah, exactly.
And a perfect example is just this like what she does with her face. She can just contort her face and express so much. So when they do the sequence of her doing the mystery crank, it starts like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2. And it's just like by the, she just gets frustrated when she gets to 8, 9, or 10, and it's just like back to like okay, I can starting over. It's fine now. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's just really great. And I really like Titus Burgess.
He's a treasure.
Titus. Yeah.
And
could so easily be like stereotypical, like whatever, super
Broadway.
Annoying.
Well, it's a flamboyant gay black man who loves Broadway. It's like you hear
Broadway
that, you're like,
wannabe.
Oh.
Yeah.
But because he's not like the side character and just like the joke, he is the second co-star and their relationship makes sense. And then he just has so much like depth and comedic chops. Yeah. It's just, he's a great character, and it's one of those things where Netflix kind of does a show, and you know FX obviously with Last Man on Earth as well, but it's one of those shows that you could tell like that just would never show up on a network. It's the concept is too weird and dark and messed up.
But it's weird because it feels like a. I'm curious what the process was for the history of it.
Yeah,
you know, just because it feels like a show that you're like, I could see this kind of working, minus you know it being a little bit weird, but I want I'm so curious what the history of that and how they got that going. Anyway, it's a very funny show.
Mike hasn't seen it.
Is it Last Man on Earth Fox?
I really want to.
Yep,
you should watch
Fox.
Fox
proper.
It is.
No, it's on FX.
No, it's on Fox proper.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Fox. That kind of budget? Yeah.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
Is it a big budget? It looked like it was really designed to be low budget.
Well, it's still big enough.
Big enough budget?
It's incredible because they posted some of the outtakes from it, and it's like they're clearly shooting, you know, very specific angles.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scene definitely where it's like they pause and they're like, oh, hey. And it's just like a person walks across frame because, you know, they're just like waiting for someone to like exit the actual store.
Shooting
in front of like, hey, how's it going? And it's like, the show is so well like framed that you're just like, I'm convinced there's nothing else. There's no one else in this entire universe.
Yeah.
That like the outtake of them just like waving at a passerby with their baby is just like, whoa, what is this? But it makes it easy. It was funny because they do this thing where it's like post-apocalypse, and you immediately think, okay, post-apocalypse is going to be expensive. You got to do ruins. You got to do cars scattered all over the road, Walking Dead style. But then they're just like, no, I guess everyone died really fast, so everything's just there, and they don't have
stuff's
not burning, and they can just go, and stores are still stocked. That's how fast everyone died. You're just like, okay, all right, that's fine. You just make it. It's the cheaper to depict post-apocalypse.
Have you watched it yet?
I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
I love Lord and Miller.
It's a similar thing where it's again, I mean, Will Forte's been incredible at a lot of stuff, so it's not quite the LA Kemper situation. But still, it feels like the role, it's again the same thing where it feels like the role
they were born to play.
That he, yeah, like to really be like, look, his comedic chops are impeccable. Like, this guy's incredible.
I know Kristen Schaal shows up, right?
Yeah, and she is really good.
She's fantastic.
She is breaking yep. out. Man.
And it's perfect because she is so good at just motor mouth, just blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then Will Forte is just so impeccable at reacting, and they just create this perfect duo where he can just be reacting to her insanity and then just say the perfect one-liner, and it's a perfect comedy duo. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
And she, Kristen Schaal, voice on Gravity Falls. And Gravity Falls, by the way, has gotten insane.
I know. I need to watch
this.
That
it hit the mid-season break on this. Now, here's what's interesting. I don't know if this has ever happened in... It must have.
The universe.
But, well, you guys would probably know because you know better than I do. But there was like a fan theory that was going around and slowly gaining traction. Mm-hmm. And... they interviewed the creator, Alex, I don't remember his last name, but he was basically like, yeah, fan theory is 100% true. Like, they called it immediately, and they're like, shit, we have to push the timeline up. They shifted their writing around because they're like, ah, everyone knows the twist. Ah, crap. Okay, well, it happens earlier now. And it was like this thing where everyone was where people were like, it was on the, especially on the subreddit, where everyone was just like, is this the thing? Like, look. And they just like started pointing and piecing it all together. And they're just like, yeah, wow. They pieced it together. Basically, it goes to show, it's like, you can't put anything in a TV show and not have it get pieced together because of the time, especially if it's a, here's what I think, is if it's a weekly show and it has any sort of mysterious component to it.
Yeah.
I feel like you're
destined, subreddit and
well, you're destined
to
fail.
It.
You're destined to fail to surprise anyone with it because either they guess it and everyone who's in on that conversation is like, oh, well, we guessed it. And, it's, and they're disappointed by it. It's like almost like the Sherlock thing, right? Between the two seasons, right? Or
well, their approach was just to say F you to the
right,
fans.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the other thing that you do is they have to do is they have to be like, okay, and here's the one key piece of information that you haven't gotten yet, and here it is, and then this is the answer to it, but you couldn't have guessed that because this piece of information was held from you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was thinking about that, and especially around True Detective, because True Detective had that go, and I tried to stay away from it, but I got like sucked into like all these fan theories.
And it was such a problem because I was watching the show. And I wasn't having that instinct while I was watching the show because that's not what it is. You watch it and it's kind of just sort of like,
I mean, it has a mysterious sort of feel to it, but it's definitely not
it's not mystery.
It's not mystery. It
wasn't Lost.
Yeah.
It wasn't
exactly. Whereas that was kind of one of the problems with Lost is they were kind of almost being too reactive to this kind of conversation.
They're like daring you to try and figure it out, I kind of feel like.
Yeah, they had like
bit.
The website be like, yeah, try to figure it
out. Yeah, yeah.
It's
like, polar bears. And I was like, ah.
It wasn't really there in True Detective, but people started to try and like put that in. And it was just crazy stuff where I remember like looking at it. I remember just like one in particular, which was there was like a painting in like the cult leader's like thing. And there's a painting in like this thing, and the painting shows up again as like a drawing in one of the characters.
That's
like,
just an art
houses.
Director doing
their
job.
Exactly. And then so someone was like, this proves that his daughter must have been involved in the cult because of this. And then someone like on the subreddit was just like, well, or it's like, hey, I'm a production designer. Mm-hmm. We'll reuse art.
It's just cheaper to put the same painting
we'll just
up.
Print out this painting and just use it because it's a cool thing. And then like, and then the next response to that was like, no, the director would never have not let that detail slip by. It's like,
they would, actually.
All the time. Yeah.
And you know, there are only four. We only printed four posters for season one of VJ. It's the same four. That's why if you look carefully, depending on the scene, they get more and more crumpled. Like, you can literally tell the order that the scene was shot based on
how crumpled
the poster is in the background.
No, that represents the decay of the school and the character.
Matt, you're telling me that
you never let
a auteur director.
But what's funny about it is that the way I always describe it is it's like 50% of it was just sort of discovered, and the other 50% was more argued about than you can possibly imagine.
Oh, it was intense.
I mean, it's from the writing plays, so it's like, oh, you think so carefully about crafting this very articulate message on something, and people are like, oh, this is just the writers being like, whatever, not caring. It's like, ah!
It's like, I care.
But at the same time, there's the happy accident. And as a viewer, you can't really tell which is which.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the law of semiotics. You just have to operate as this is the text of the thing.
Yeah.
And you just
people were going down like, you know, like 18 levels deep into it. And I tried to stay away from it, but then I realized like, and then when I played, I couldn't help but feel like it was my fault completely. But I still felt like a little bummed out that like some of the fun, crazy ideas that people had online wasn't in the show at all. And I was like, no, that's my fault for not for bringing that into it. Yeah. And I realized, so the only way you can really do anything that has a mystery component now is like the Netflix style, everything at once. Because if it was like, if it all came out at once, then you can actually have a mystery that people would not solve in time, because rather than sit there and wait to solve it, they'll just watch the next episode.
You can do it. It's just hard. I mean, I would argue that there are book series that have the similar thing. People analyze and go nuts over books and they try to figure it out and stuff. You just can't be lazy about it. I mean, I'd even say something as simple as like The 100 has a pretty strong uncertainty factor. And it's not so much
a mystery.
I'm not
talking about uncertainty.
No, it's not so much a mystery, but there is an element where you could obsess over The 100 and try to figure out, like, are there other humans here? Like, what do they really mean by this? And they just don't, they don't give you enough information for you to have been able to guess it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just you just have to be careful. Don't hide stuff in the background cleverly, because somebody will see it, freeze frame it, and then figure it out.
Well, I guess that's what I mean. Because it's like, I'm saying, like, in Gravity Falls, they've been planting the seeds of it.
Yeah.
Forever. Like, they even have, and they have that almost purposeful thing. They do, like, a little coded message at the end of the credits for people to try and decode, and they have, like, drawings and stuff.
See, but that's inviting.
They just weren't.
No, but I'm saying, I'm saying that if you have a show that plays that game and invites it, I feel like you can do it almost so much better now if you had it in a format that was all at once.
Yeah. Well, from a creator standpoint, I mean, would you guys say you guys went through that with VGHS when you said that in season 3 someone was going to die?
No, because nothing makes sense in VGHS.
No, because, like, you guys, like, threw that out there before season 3 came out.
Yeah, so. Wait, did we talk about the kid who called it?
Yeah, we talked about it multiple times.
Yeah, like, I heard about the kid who just, like, hard. Figured it out.
Yeah, he came on the road, like, they're talking about me, by the way. Like,
oh, really?
He linked to it. That's, like, just saying who's going to die. We didn't lay any groundwork, like...
It made it sound like it would be like a juicy, like.
Yeah, I mean, we knew everybody was going to assume if we're calling it out, it was like somebody's going to die, that we were going to kill, like, Jenny or Ted or Calhoun or somebody that people cared about, not freaking Freddy. And there was one kid. That was just one where we knew if we asked that question. But that's the thing. We wouldn't have asked that question if, like, we were establishing that Freddie actually had cancer, and we were doing hints where he looks sickly one episode and he makes a reference, then everybody would, of course they would know it. Mm-hmm. You just have to be really careful. And if you're going to do those, you have to also set up red herrings. I haven't seen enough of it. Gravity Falls is supposedly a super freaking good show. That's just an example that they didn't hide it well enough, or their puzzles weren't clever enough for them
I'll put it this way. It's probably one of those things also where it's simultaneously a kid's show and not a show that kids watch. It's definitely well hidden if you're 12 and 13 and you're like, I'm working on the cereal box decoder to figure out the message. Whoa. But like, if you're a little older, then all of a sudden it's like, this is so obvious. It's like, well, come on, man. They're making this show for
Are you
like,
sure those
are
12 and 13 year olds who figured it out?
It could be. My God.
You just got 12 and 13 year olds is really dumb right there.
I think, like, you'd be shocked. How about this way? I think you'd be shocked.
I was obsessed with like figuring out like
how smart do you think you were at 12?
I don't know. As smart as, you know, you can be at 12.
How smart can I be at 12? The limit of how smart you could possibly be. Yeah. I was always at the very limit of it. Yeah. I was redlining my intelligence constantly.
The 1%. Like that,
the 1%.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But no, let's put it this way. I can't figure out Minecraft now. 12 and 13 year olds are playing Minecraft. Like, those sort of videos can definitely solve, like, decoder ring puzzles and, like, mysteries and stuff.
Did you ever get a no prize?
From Marvel. Yeah. No, that was before our time.
God damn. Have you read this book?
Tear.
And some people had not. And it's called I think it's called the 11th. Hold on, one second.
Oh yes, it's the.
What are you guys talking about?
There's like one book that the entire book was nothing but a single.
Puzzle.
It was with animals.
Yeah, the 11th
like
Hour by Graham Bass.
Do you remember this book?
Oh, yeah. No,
I remember
that.
This book?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, you know?
Yeah, 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 we talked about this before.
No, I've never seen this book. Oh, you guys didn't explain it to me.
It's so, just a giant puzzle.
So the whole book is like, Horace is the elephant. He's having his birthday. And it goes through, and it's all these very, very elaborately painted, you know, things. And it was like, his birthday, and all the guests come, and then they all have fun. And it's like there's, you know, three dogs and four mice and five geese and stuff. And it's like a children's book.
Okay.
But in the end, they come back and like, oh no, someone's eaten his birthday feast.
Oh,
who could have done
else?
It?
Who did it?
Yeah. And then he's like, and then he made sandwiches and they're all good. But then the end of the book's just like, can you figure out who fucking did it?
And it's so hard.
And it's like,
dude.
And they swear.
Didn't you try to do it?
Well, so, okay. So they're like, can you figure out who did it? And she's like, oh, as a kid, she's like, oh. It's like, basically he's like, there's been clues hidden in every page that reveals the answer.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember when I was a kid being like, oh, I'm going to solve this. And by the way, it's
a harder mystery than Jinx.
It's so hard.
When I was a kid,
I couldn't figure it out. I was just like, because there were like crazy like substitution ciphers and like all kinds of stuff that I was
I had that book for like 4 years. I never got close.
Completely ill-equipped. So then in my adult life, like a couple months ago, I was like, you know what? I remember that book. I'm like, I never fucking solved it. Uh-huh. I don't know who ate his Horace's birthday feast. I should find out. So I got on Amazon, and of course they were selling it, so I bought it. And I was like, I'm going to sit down and do this. Like, on Sunday, I was like, I'm going to do this. Still couldn't do it!
Are you for real?
It was so hard!
That is so not what I thought you were going to say.
Try it.
I kind of want to try it.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to ruin it. But I remember being like,
look at the solution, you're like, I'll put it this way. Do you think either of them will solve it?
I don't think you'll solve it. How did you guys
solve it? Well, yeah, I tried to solve it also.
Here's what happened.
And I am really, really,
so, okay,
really
so here's, so here's what happens. Yeah. Right? Because the new one, it has like an answer key. Like the paperback version had an answer key.
Okay.
So at a certain point, I was just like, fuck that. God damn. And I flip to the back.
Okay.
And I start looking at the answers. And like, there are examples of stuff where it's like, I've hidden it here. And I go back and I was like, I never would have gotten that. I was like, I wouldn't have gotten that now, and I would have gotten that as a kid. And then it's like, there's just stuff where it's just like hard.
I wonder if we could set up like, can you set up a room where everyone has to like,
solve a puzzle and then they have to like break out of it in order to do that?
Yeah, it's called puzzle room.
It's called escape room.
No, but like, it's just that book.
No, like, turn off the internet.
The 11th hour.
No, turn off the internet, put four, like, we'll do like 5-on-5 in the office.
We should set up cameras and do it.
Yeah. This should be, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
This should, oh, by the way, oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
This is going to be. Yeah. This will be our new job interview. This is about coming back.
Oh,
hey,
we've talked about
it. No, it's easy because I already. You just said it. People are going to look up the answer.
We'll come with something else.
No, no, there's a job interview. That's a terrible. Let's do it here and see who.
Okay,
let's see who's talking about having
an escape room in the job interview.
Oh, yeah, I would do. Escape room in the job interview.
We got to enforce that people don't look this up before we go.
No one's going to say anything.
Only we know.
What's
it's up to you two.
Don't say anything.
Okay. We can't be part of it. We're judges.
The moment we finish, I'm going to go on Amazon. I'm going to buy 5 copies of this book for $3 because Amazon's amazing.
Okay.
The marvel of modern
commerce. It'll be here
commerce.
Tonight.
Tomorrow. Tonight.
Yeah. On Amazon Fresh, that'll be there.
It's already here.
At my house. And we're going to bring it in tomorrow. You want to do this tomorrow?
Do it.
The 11th hour test.
Yeah.
Oh, because we're having a pizza party at our new place.
Yep.
We are tomorrow?
Yeah. Lots of rooms to lock people in.
Oh, man.
And then be like, oh, hey, what's
enjoy
in this
the pizza.
Room?
You can't leave till you solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
It was hard.
I want to know. I want to give it a shot.
And then also in the answer key was great because one puzzle, he was like, even he was just like, yeah, this one's a little hard. I'm like, you son of a. I was like, this is a children's book.
Wow.
No kids.
And this is like a noted book now.
It was good, though.
People to have that unattainable thing.
It is because the original version
is how you do.
Well,
your
but
best.
Here's the
original version didn't have an answer key, so that's why it was beautiful.
Well, no,
because
it was
you will no kid will solve it.
Exactly. Well, here's what you had to mail in to Scholastic to get the answer key, and it was just like the teacher wasn't doing that. Like that was that's an inconceivable thing for a kid.
Yeah,
like
kids,
what?
Kids
have to
don't
mail a self-addressed stamped envelope to Scholastic
kids
Corporation.
If you can't figure out the puzzle, you gotta figure out how to mail a letter.
No, you're done.
But for at school, not for like sick decoder rings. Like in the context of
kids
first grade,
all the time.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Even I mail some stuff. I got
this might be the
might be a generation thing. Might be a generation.
These puzzles are not like those. Like, there's no puzzle that's like the things that would be on the ceiling of your orthodontist's like wall, would it?
Like
the
highlights
or
anything?
Yeah, the one where you wouldn't have to like fuck your eyes up to
oh,
see
magic
it.
Oh, magic eyes.
Yeah. No,
can you do magic
puzzles?
Eyes? Can you do magic eyes?
Yeah,
I can, but I don't like mine. Mine actually, whenever I do it, I have to cross my eyes, and people see it one way. I see it like.
Inverse.
The negative space.
Ah, you're doing a different type of eye cross then. Yeah. You're doing a parallel eye cross versus a cross eye cross.
What? How did, show me the difference.
There's two ways. So one is you can take two images and cross your eyes so that this one's going to this eye and the right one's going to the other eye. The other one is you can like infinity focus your eyes.
Everybody
so far.
Does the infinity.
Isn't that how you do 3D? When you do side-by-side images in 3D?
Yeah, yeah.
As infinity focus?
There's two ways. One is a cross, and then the refocusing, or an infinity focus. I do both competently. That's how much control I have over my eyes.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, guys.
Well, can you do this, Freddie?
What's this?
Like in opposite direction.
Can you?
Wait, what's this?
I am doing it. What are you doing?
She's avoiding the microphone.
I'm doing it.
Is it clockwise?
It's yeah. You're moving your hand
like
in
this?
Two
like
different...
a pro?
No,
like this?
You gotta go at the same time. You're doing it different times.
Like this?
See? Yeah. I think Freddie's.
I'm doing this.
You gotta
rub your stomach, pat your head. Look at this. Look at this pro action.
See, I'm doing it.
Rub your stomach, pat your head.
Yeah.
That was not as hard as kids thought.
So none of us are drunk.
Wow.
The Stone Cold Sober Podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, wait, hold on real quick. What are stupid body tricks did you...
That's all I...
Can you roll your tongue? That's a genetic thing, you know?
No, I can't. Like any other Asian, I can twirl pencils, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be able to where you grab your foot and you like jump back and forth and hop through your foot.
Yeah, that's a B-boy move.
That's what I... Well,
that sounds gross.
Like I used to, like when I was younger, I
can't visualize it, actually.
It's a straight up breakdancing move.
So you did a thing where you hold the foot and you just jump with your legs through the other foot. And then you can jump backwards and go back.
That sounds like
I can't do that anymore.
It's an accident waiting
because
to happen.
I'm out of shape.
Because
you'd
just blow your knees out.
Yeah, it would just be...
You're not old, Mike.
Try it outside. Yeah, you show me outside.
Oldest person here.
Yeah, that's true.
See, you remember?
Have I talked about that much? Like, how my entire life, I have been
surrounded by
the youngest in all my situations. Like I can't describe it. Just always, I was always hanging out with my older brother and his friends. Like, the neighborhood kids were older. Like, even, like, all the places I've worked, I was always kind of the youngest, and everybody, like, kind of moved up together, but I was always, and now I'm literally the oldest person at this company.
How old are you?
I am turning 33 soon. So.
And how old is Dez?
We're the same, yeah. But
but you're slightly older than him?
Yeah, and so it's, like, it's just this weird thing that I've just never been in the situation, and it's strange. Like, I'll be, like, referencing something in the writer's room, and, like, Ashley and Anthony are, like,
Nothing.
And you're it's like so much older than us.
We're too new.
It's like even
4 years is a big difference. That is a whole high school.
And even because like I was so aspirational and looking up to my brother's generation.
Yeah.
So it was like it was this whole different thing, and it's just like even they'll be like, "Oh, was that 80s or 90s?" I'm like, "That was 1991."
How dare you?
Yeah. And it's just weird because I've never done that in my entire life.
How much older is your brother?
He's 5 years older.
Okay, so that's another big leap.
Yeah, and even my parents, like I was very interested
both
in their
older
interests.
Than you. Crazy.
It was weird, but even they were like older because my parents are like turning 70 soon. So it's like, it was just this very strange thing. And it just
you're the old one.
Have you ever thought about like...
I've never felt like that before, so it's strange.
What age you actually are.
You should get your own parking spot.
What's your soul age?
Yeah, what's your soul age?
Well, what's interesting is like, I finally got, like, when I was a little kid, everybody used to joke because, like, I would act like a 33-year-old when I was 5.
Yeah.
And, like, I would be like, why aren't people taking me seriously? Yeah. I'm a little child with things to say. I mean, it was ridiculous, but, now I'm finally getting to that age and I just feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, 33. This feels right.
You've always been
33. Oh, no, so his age is like, he's like 78. He's so old.
No,
he's
I'll
back
just,
to being
I'll
like,
just,
I don't care what
I'll
people
just
think
stay
anymore.
That age. And so when I get older, I'm very interesting to
so
I'm very interested to see what happens after.
What about you guys?
I did that.
I'm like 12. Like,
that's
I'm
adorable.
14. I'm a child.
14. No, I can draw. Yeah, because I
driving
still...
doesn't change your soul age.
No, but I'm saying
you're
but,
like 14, but now I can drive.
His soul age but could
being,
drive.
But being super excited to like drive somewhere is definitely something that you feel when you are real life 15. Yeah. But I still feel that way even though I'm real life 29. Yeah. So I feel like it's like 15 years old.
I think my soul age is like a solid 47.
47.
Yeah. You just kind of you're like I'm pretty tired.
Yeah. Oh, always.
All the time.
All the time. It's from logging all these kids around. Well, logging's not a word.
Logging kids. I chopped them at their knees.
That is murder.
Just onto the children.
Because you're carrying them around like logs, not murdering them like logs.
Logging
is the word.
Lugging.
Thank you.
There you go.
Inventing words. Lugging children.
Murderous end note.
Matt, why is it always be murder with you, man?
Murder them.
No one said anything about murder.
Nobody said nothing about murder. Now Matt's just coming in here.
Man, if a murder happens here, I'll be the first one.
First one down.
The first one the cops are coming
to. The first
to.
One to murder.
Like,
when murder happens here, it's definitely going to be me.
When murder happens, I'll be the first guy to murder someone. It's just going to be so horrible. I'm going to have to murder someone first. Like, what are you talking about,
Matt?
And
the person who saw it.
Speaking of which, we need to play that game, which we should record.
Oh, yeah, we should absolutely do that.
Yeah.
What?
It's a murder game.
Yeah. What's
a
murder
what's it called,
game?
Matt?
Did we talk about? I'll say really quick if you guys want to go.
We should do the new place. Tomorrow.
I learned it from Shut Up
tomorrow in the new place.
Oh yeah, I learned it from Shut Up and Sit Down, which is an awesome podcast. I don't know why I'm just promoting them because they're great and they review board games and they're fun. Shut Up and Sit Down, but they do. They were talking about games, and it's essentially a game where one person's a detective, one person's a murderer, everybody else is just victims, and you
just like in real life.
And you find a big empty space. Essentially, you just need a space where you can scream.
Lots of rooms too.
You need to be able to scream. There's a dead body without making people around you freak out.
Right.
So, like our new office would be great because there's tons of rooms, and you all have to
and
spread
doors
out
all over the place.
You have to spread out, and then you start playing. And the murderer comes up, and if he puts his arms around your neck, you die, and you have to fall down on the floor and pretend to be a dead body.
Okay.
And then if you see a dead body, you go, "I found a dead body." And then people come up and be like, they all look around, they all start accusing each other, and then the murderer may go elsewhere and then kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
And if the detective says, like, it's you, then they win. If they kill the detective, they win, right? But what happens is the way they describe it is just this guy's describing this moment, and I was like, that sounds pretty fun. And then he's like, it was pretty fun. And then one time I opened a door, and there's seven of my friends just lying.
Because you can
down.
Move the bodies, too.
Yeah, you can move the bodies. There's just
wait, do the bodies have to help you if you move them?
You can play different ways. They say usually the way they play is like the guy's like,
I'm
just move.
You now, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
like,
you could
yeah.
do dragging, but maybe you don't want to drag people
right,
or
right.
not. I would say we should drag people.
What? But, you wear pants tomorrow.
Yeah. But they're like, but yeah, he's like, there's seven of my friends face down, like just dead. I was like, oh, I found a dead. And then I turned, there's another guy's like, yo, did he find a dead body? And he's walking to him, he's like, you're the killer. You're the killer. Because he's like, I'm trapped
he's
in this
like,
room.
Is it you?
I'm
is it
trapped
you?
In this room, and there's seven people dead to the right of me.
Someone's
and there's one
coming
guy
wow.
towards
that
me.
That guy was really good.
Yeah, it sounds intense. It's
yeah.
like, that sounds like a
that
ton of fun.
That's stressful if you're the murderer, honestly.
Because we could try a variation where they're.
Oh, I'd love to be the murderer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I mean, like
so much fun.
You're
starting
a little
me.
Bit like Matt here.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do
well. No, it's just that's why I always talk about games. It's like I'm very nervous about ever doing like wrong things in real
yeah.
life. Like I can't handle it. But in games, it's like, oh, now I get to be a sociopath. I yeah. love games.
Yeah. GTA 5,
like,
number one game.
Games
oh,
and
I
lying
see.
Games.
Well,
stuff.
I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna get like either shoeboxers or something because they say there needs to be one person that decides the rules. But it doesn't sound fun. So we're going to do shoeboxes. The murderer will have, like, a fake knife or something, but the detective will have a Nerf gun with a single dart, and then he shoots the...
Oh, that's great.
But then you know it's the detective.
No, because everybody else will have...
He has to hide it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
has a shoebox.
Or the detective has a badge, and he keeps it in his pocket, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody else just gets something saying,
like
you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're
good,
nothing.
Good effing
good
luck.
So you get your shoebox, you all run, you open it, and you go, and you see what you are, and you put down the box, and then you play. And you don't need somebody to sit out of the game.
That seems stressful. I keep saying that.
And,
but
so,
it's
and
like...
so the thing is, here's what we do need for that, by the way, and I'll get this in place for it tomorrow. We need a bunch of phone mounts. So that because we don't have tons of GoPros, but we should have everyone record their POV from their phone.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way, and then we have at least, you know, probably a camera person or something. But anyway,
yeah.
I got some ideas. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'll right. wear GoPro.
Maybe we'll just play it first and then film it after we see it works.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So the knife is just going to be like touching you with the knife?
No. It's, yeah. I think
it's
we'll
just
do
a
detective
it's just
badge.
A symbol. It's just a
yeah,
symbol.
Yeah.
Okay. I already know what
I
I'm
like,
going to do.
I like
I'm a
this.
Victim.
I like the choking.
If I'm a victim, I already know what I'm going to do.
Knives are more than a symbol.
All
right. I just want to say that.
What are you going to do as a victim?
If I was a victim, I'm just going to scale the wall so he can't get their hands around my neck.
What?
If I'm
scale,
just like,
are you Spider-Man?
What do you mean?
I'm just going to climb into the wall.
If you're against the wall, I can still put my hand around
not
your neck.
Not if I'm like just scooting against the wall, maybe.
No, it won't be a surprise. I'll just walk up to you. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't run. I
it
don't
sounds like I'm like, what are you going to do when I murder you? You can't get away.
What are you going to do, Jerry? What are you going to do?
You're not breaking the game. And somebody's like... Because if I was
right.
a victim, I'd be like, why are you scooting against the walls? You're
so
acting weird.
You clearly, so you, if you're the murderer, you have
here's the problem,
to get
though.
Someone
but
alone.
Back up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Exactly. But hold
exactly.
on.
Okay.
What if the murderer also scoots around the walls? Then what?
They're like, good idea. And they're scooting around the walls. And you're like, hey, I trust
well,
this guy.
I mean,
he's
I
scooting
just,
around
this
the
guy,
walls, too.
He's clearly not a murderer.
Well, I just told you this plan because now I'll come up with another one tomorrow,
Good tactic.
Dang it.
No, that's going to be our tactic as the murderer because then she's going to be scooting. I'm like, hey, she can't be the murderer. She told me she's
scooting
around the walls.
Exactly.
If she was a victim.
So now you don't know what
hey,
I'm going to do.
I can trust you that she kills me.
Yep. I'm just scooting, you know. I'm trying to protect myself. We got to look out for each other against this wall.
I would love for the opportunity to, like, if just, like, I'm with two other people and I'm the murderer, and, like, somehow just both are backstabbers just to do the quick, like, double murder.
Mike, you need to slow your damn roll. Okay.
That's
like,
the fun
you're
part.
We're too excited. We haven't done this yet. Anyway, we'll play it tomorrow. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody. Benji, of course, podcast producer. Alex Reeves, mixed master, Point Blue Studios. Anyway, another Face Rock podcast in the can. This one was about murder, apparently.
Engagement
about
marriage.
And murder and marriage.
And engagements.
Yep. There you go. All right, well, we'll see everybody next week.